This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and with me is a true Renaissance man, in addition to being an author, as well as a scholar, and an entrepreneur. He is also Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He's a swell dresser. He's a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father. He also roomed with Steve Ballmer at Harvard. Yes, that same Steve Ballmer who pretty much owns most of California and the information superhighway that we all know and love so much, like what we're doing right now. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Very good, Jay. As always, thanks for that great introduction. And of course, running the last couple weekends, we had the race to the cog this year. Joseph Gray did not beat the cog up because I didn't realize this, Jay, but engineers are pretty competitive too. And they didn't like that a human being beat them up last year. So this year they full throttled it and they made it up in 35 minutes. And Joe was more like 40 minutes. And the week before, of course, was the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington road race. So it's been a fun couple weeks of racing, as well as the book Stories from the Starting Line is good. Appearance by Joseph Gray and Amber Ferreira with me at the Gibson's bookstore signing a few Tuesdays ago. So it was great. But with that, let me introduce our guest, Dr. Max Latona, who is the director for the Center for Ethics and Society at St. A's. And Max, I know that you and I are very familiar with the Center for Ethics and Society and its connection to St. A's, and love the one or two of the events, you know, that I went there. But for the listening audience, first of all, why don't you tell people about your background, and then from there, tell us about the Center for Ethics and Society.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me back on the show. It's a pleasure to be here with you. So my background, I'm actually a philosopher by training, an ethicist, and I'm interested in fundamental questions about who we are, what's right and wrong. And I got mixed up with this center because the college was interested in working in our communities more. And they reached out to me to see if I was interested in starting a center that would help communities and organizations in New Hampshire to address some of the difficult issues that they're facing. So I jumped at it. And here we are some 6 years later, doing all sorts of work with great people in New Hampshire on all of these difficult, challenging problems we're facing. I'll give you, maybe just one or two examples. Right now, we're working on some of the affordable housing challenges in our communities in New Hampshire. We do see that as a fundamental ethical issue. We've also held discussions throughout Manchester and the region on some of the violence that we have in our communities, on the right kinds of policing that we should have, and many other kinds of issues that we're all facing. So that's a brief version of my background and what we're up to.
It's such a intellectually stimulating area, but also pragmatic. I know when I got to one of your events and your pose with those ethical dilemmas, using, that situation with the Ford cars years ago that got into all sorts of accidents, and many of them were driver errors, maybe not all of them, but that whole dilemma of, cost benefit analysis. And it was fun doing it, non-stressful when you were talking in hindsight, right? But then when someone posed, what about driverless trucks going across the country? And of course, right now, oh my God, I can't have a truck drive across the highways without a driver. But then your secondary question was, but what if the food could get no other way getting, it's really, I just love it. I wish I could join you on some more of these intellectual journeys, but they're also very relevant,
You would be right at home, Tom. I know from listening to your show and from knowing you personally that you clearly have a good mind for philosophy and ethics. Yeah, actually, I mean, you're right. In hindsight, it's sometimes easy to see the solutions to some of these challenges, like the Ford Pinto problem. But it's very difficult when you're in the midst of it. And we're always, whether we're for-profit, nonprofits, or communities, we're always dealing with some difficult challenges and different perspectives on it. So the way the center addresses this is with a couple strategies. One, there are some fundamental commitments that we have, values, you might say, such as a commitment to human rights and human dignity. So yes, cost-benefit analysis is important at some level, but after you've made those commitments, you can't sell human beings, no matter what the dollar amount. So there are those fundamental commitments. And then we're also about collaboration and facilitating dialogue and listening to one another. I think, as you know, we all have perspectives on things, and it's easy to think that we're right and everybody else is wrong. But as you see from all the people that you talk to and the variety of perspectives you get, there are many different voices out there with insights to be shared and to learn from. And so our center really tries to facilitate those kinds of dialogues and collaborations in our organizations and communities, because we think we're all the better for it. If we can listen to one another and learn from one another, we might be better off solving some of these difficult problems we're facing.
So. Yeah, I love that. When you listen to everybody's perspective and truly listen, you can definitely change your mind on things. I'm assuming that this whole recent event with the submersible, the submarine thing, that's probably going to make a case study for, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a good one. I got to tell you, though, we have a larger initiative for young people called the Ethics of AI and Robotics. So yeah. Maybe it's right in that area. But because emerging technologies all over with artificial intelligence, drone technologies are raising these fundamental ethical challenges about privacy, about human rights, about whether we should grant to machines control over human life. And these are not just edge issues. They're going to be core to how we do business going forward, not just in the military, but in the commercial sphere. So, so what we're trying to do is help young people not only with the skills that they need to know these technologies and to develop them and become leaders in their field, but to deal with the ethical challenges. And that's not easy, to be honest. But the first step for us is getting them comfortable thinking about these things, talking with one another about them, listening to one another, getting that comfort level with fundamental questions of right and wrong. So,
mentioning AI, artificial intelligence, I mean, that somewhat answers one of my questions I would ask you, is that how do you feel the center is important to business? Because, even a regional dental insurance company like ourselves, we're dealing with that AI question with regard to when we process claims. Certain claims need to be professionally reviewed by an in-house dentist, and that could be done by AI, So, that's obviously not really that important in the scheme of life, but we're dealing with that. So is that one of the ways you think the center is important to businesses and organizations in New Hampshire? And I'm sure there are many others. So why don't you expound on that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So, as you know, because, your organization has a wonderful reputation in the community for treating people with respect, not only within your organization's employees, but outside. So I got to give you a lot of credit for that. As you know, I think doing the right thing is probably the best strategy for a business in terms of its growth and sustainability, because you might sacrifice your principles in the short term and your integrity, but it's going to bite you in the rear long term. And so what we try to do is help businesses and corporations to really kind of think about what the right thing to do is. And it doesn't mean that they have to sacrifice their bottom line in doing so. We think, being successful means growing your bottom line, but also building your community of stakeholders, which includes your employees, your suppliers, your customers, and your clients. And that will also help you to be successful. The problem is, it's sometimes hard to decide what the right thing to do is, quite frankly. And so what we try to do is bring corporations into our speaker engagements, our educational programs, our panel discussions, our workshops, to wrestle, and their leadership, to wrestle with these problems, because we can't give them a rule book. Tom, as you know, there's no rule book for good leadership. What you need is good processes and good principles, and that will help you. So we try to give them some of those tools in terms of the principles and the processes that need to follow to make the right decision and help their companies become successful. So,
and that's that dilemma, of course, no money, no mission. So if you err on one side of doing so well for society, but then you're not in business and you can't help. So how do you, in your processes, how do you get people to kind of envision, you know, any unintended consequences?
No. Like the submersible, right? I mean, it's all over, the unintended consequences. Well, so there in ethics, and I'll just say this quickly, there are different approaches. And one is what's called a utilitarian approach, which is really just looking at the consequences and trying to maximize what they call utility or benefit for everybody. And that sounds great in principle, but oftentimes that means you take an ends justifying the means approach. And that can be dangerous because in the end you might sacrifice some basic fundamental things that you want to preserve. So that's one perspective. The other perspective is to commit to certain principles or absolutes or basic values and not worry about the consequences because whatever you do, the right thing is going to be done. You're going to be preserving human dignity, human rights. And in the end, I think most times the consequences will work out. But sometimes if they don't, at least you can say, you know what, we did the right thing. We treated people with respect and dignity. So we try not to worry so much about the consequences and predicting them and more about caring for people and treating people.
And that's been my mantra, and it definitely can work. Jay, I know you're into this type of philosophical discussion, so feel free after our little break to start with a question, if you will.
For ethics, absolutely. Max Latona is the guest this week on an all-new Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Center for Ethics in Society, St. Anselm College. You can go to anselm.edu/ethics for more information. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of Max and Tom talking about ethics and all that goes with that here on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and it is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. In this week's edition, it is Max Latona, who is the ED for Center for Ethics in Society at St. Anselm College. And Tom and Max are having a discussion on ethics and kind of how we just go as a society with ethics and the future of ethics in society. Take it away, guys.
Great. Thanks, J-Dog. So, Dr. Latona, so let's take one step back and tell us exactly how the Center for Ethics is connected to St. A's. And then let's get on to what do you think the most important issues that we face in New Hampshire?
Great. Yeah, so St. A's is a very much mission-driven college. We are about helping young people prepare to be good leaders in their community. But we also care about our community around us. And so St. Anselm helped develop the Center for Ethics as a way of helping communities and organizations to address the important issues that they're facing. And part of that also, I should say, is by developing the young people who are going to be living in these communities, contributing to them, and ultimately being leaders to these communities to be able to grapple with some of these issues and help be solution-driven. So one of the most important issues that we're facing right now is the affordable housing crisis in New Hampshire. Tom, as you and your listeners know, we have an affordable housing crisis. Everybody who lives in New Hampshire has probably been touched by it in one way or another. Either you've been unable to rent an apartment or buy a house, or your child has been unable to move out of your home, or your aged parents have been able to sell their home and downsize, live in space, or you're passing by homeless people in your community. It's everywhere. And we think it's an ethical issue at the center. We think it's an ethical issue because we think people have a right to access to a safe and affordable home. We think people have a right to be able to build small homes on their property to help other people to live. We think it's an equity issue because many of our poorest and most vulnerable populations have been unable to move into many communities in New Hampshire because housing there is unaffordable. So we've got patterns of segregation that are communities. And finally, I'll say it's about workforce and the development of our economy. It's about flourishing communities. When you don't have enough housing for people, everybody suffers. So we've been trying to address this. And one way we're trying to address it is the problem of supply. There's just not enough homes being built. And why aren't there enough homes being built? Because many of our communities have practiced what we call exclusionary zoning, where they're zoning basically everything is being prohibited or restricted other than large lots, single family homes. So no smaller starter homes, no smaller apartment units, no townhouses, no what they call in-law apartments are difficult to build now. All of those kinds of things communities don't want because they think, well, we just want a very, very affluent community with big homes on large lots. Well, it's causing a problem across the state. And so we're trying to address that by awakening awareness in our communities to our zoning and how we're excluding this kinds of homes from being built. So,
you know, Max, it so relates to so many conversations, you know, when I've had stay, work, play on and the demographer Peter Francisi on this whole thing with, you know, planning boards and these restrictions and stay, work, play obviously wants, you know, the younger population to grow in New Hampshire being in Maine and Vermont being three of the sort of oldest average age states. But if you can't afford a home or even a rent, you can't. And so it all relates. And it's interesting you mentioned the zoning thing, because of course the big story recently was that huge development that was going to maybe take place in Londonderry with affordable housing, and it was voted down by the by the Londonderry zoning board. So that's just an example. But these are the things that Peter Francisi talks about in his book on demographics, and these are the things, you know, that stay, work, play talks about it.
Yes.
And then besides workforce housing, of course, is healthcare, the cost of healthcare that always comes up as a, you know, a challenge. I mean, we have an expression at Northeast Delta Dental that everybody deserves a healthy smile, which is why we are really working hard at getting the Medicaid implementation. So this might surprise you, Max, but there's literally 100,000 adults who, for the most part, have never been to the dentist. And so we're addressing that. So you have that on the healthcare side. And recently had Robert Turney from Neighborhood Works on and said that, I'm doing this from memory prior show, but by the year 2030, there might be 60,000 housing units shy to deal with even, you know, today's population. So it's great.
Right.
It's really you're working on.
Let me just add to that. I mean, yeah, so New Hampshire Housing just did a housing needs assessment. And yes, that's right. Your numbers were exactly right. The estimate is that we're going to need 60,000 units built by 2030. Now, for a city like New York City or for California, that may not be a lot. But for a state which has 1.3 million, that's a lot. But that's a high percentage of units needed. And right now, they estimate we're 23,500 units short of a balanced supply. So you're absolutely right. It's a desperate need. And like healthcare, it's a basic human need. And here's the thing that I find interesting, Tom. So if we live in a nice community, and many of us have a community we love, we want the community to stay the same. We don't want it to change. So what we've done is we've created these zoning rules that make it hard for smaller homes or apartments to be built. And why? Well, because we care about our community and the character of it, and we care about the value of our homes and our low school property taxes and so on. But the thing that we care about as an ethics center is what you're doing, though, is you're depriving some other people of something even more fundamental and basic. And it's not healthcare in this case, it's a safe and affordable home. And so what we're doing is we're preventing people from something fundamentally important for human life in order to give ourselves something that we care about that isn't as important. Namely, the, you know, the look of our neighborhood. And that's to me where the ethical issue comes in. We've got to, as community members, look to ourselves and say, hey, look, we've got a crisis. People are suffering. We've got to open our doors a little bit and allow these smaller homes to be built.
And we got to get away from the not my backyard.
Exactly.
So I can't wait. I hope you invite me to the next dinner discussion, because this would be fascinating.
You're definitely invited. Consider yourself a permanent invitee, Tom.
Perfect. Well, thank you. So if I'm a small or medium-sized business owner and I want to get involved with the center, do I just contact you? How do I get involved?
Yeah. Well, the easiest way is to visit our website. As you already mentioned, you want to go to ethics@anselm.edu. And you can find out all about our programming there, including some of the upcoming events that we have. You can see our New Hampshire Zoning Atlas and all of the different resources that we have there to learn about the affordable housing crisis. And you can easily sign up for our newsletter on the website. And you can also send us an email if you're interested. You can even email me personally at mlatona@anselm.edu. I'd love to hear from you. But basically you can sign up for our newsletter list. We'll send you emails of upcoming events and programs, or you can email and contact us personally. And we'd love to get you involved in our programs.
Great. We're so lucky that we have a university that's supporting such a center. And, you know, the president of St. A's, I know, is a big believer in this. So we're lucky. So your long and medium term goals for the center are?
Wow, that's a great question. I think we would love to continue to grow as a resource, not only for students. By the way, we have a large high school program, so we're growing in the high schools throughout the state. So not only for students and young people, but also for organizations, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit organizations, and communities throughout New Hampshire. So we just want to grow in terms of our reach and our impact to help our state and our communities to flourish and to deal with some of the challenges that the future is bringing us.
I love how you're relating it to, you know, real life problems, not the hypothetical. I used to candidly, I'll admit, Max, I'd hate to do this exercise when they say, well, if you were in a desert island and there was Max, John, and Mary, Susie, and Peter, who would you leave behind?
Oh, boy.
I didn't like those exercises, but I like these real ones. So,
oh boy. Well, it's, you know, you bring that up, but these are rare things, but sometimes they do happen. Those lifeboat situations where people have to choose who's going to live and who's going to die. Those are great. Well, they're not fun, but for philosophers, they're kind of fun to talk about. But when they arise for real people, and you know what, Tom, to be honest, I think you probably as a CEO are dealing with questions about real people all the time. And you have to make, you know, are we going to fund this treatment or that or not? And it's tough. So actually, maybe they're not extreme and they're not as horrific as those lifeboat situations, but they're real situations that people are facing all the time.
Yeah. I mean, every day you're faced with finite resources, but I do like the mantra that you mentioned that I know I live by, which is try to do the right thing. Right. In my case, everybody deserves a healthy smile and, you know, try to make the right decisions on that basis. You might make a mistake, but it's you're leading, you know, with the right heart. Well, as always, we ran out of time because next time we have you on, I want to really explore the high school angle.
Oh, I love that.
It's great that you're getting high schools, you know, involved. So, Jay, what do you think? Dr. Latona has a lot on his plate, but it's exciting stuff, too.
And we were able to get most of it within 24 minutes. But the high school thing, we'll certainly definitely talk about that because ethics, I think, really starts with public school or just school in general. And then, you know, on your way to college, much like political science, you get that in college. You don't really get that in high school. But civics and ethics pretty much is kind of where it starts in the educational sector. Max Latona, this week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're going to say goodbye to Max, and I'm going to say goodbye to Tom as well. It's another edition wrapping up of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. But fear not, we'll have another edition next week. Now, Max Latona, the Center of Ethics and Society at St. Anselm College. It's anselm.edu/ethics for more information there. For Max Latona and Tom Raffio, the President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I'm J-Dog. We'll have another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire next time.